Psalm 96. Sing to the Lord in a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord, and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, all you families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Let all the trees of the forest sing for joy. Let all creation rejoice before the Lord, for he comes. He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his faithfulness. This is the word of the Lord.
When you look up at the sky, isn't it amazing? The clouds are always changing. The sunrise and the sunset are often incredibly beautiful. The sun is warm. The rain sometimes falls, like today. But it's always different. Sometimes there's lightning and thunder. The night skies are stunning too, especially if you get out of the lights of the city and it's a cloudless night and you see the Milky Way and millions of stars. Have you seen any of those images from the Hubble telescope with all those amazing clusters of stars, many of them light years away? They are really beautiful. It's an amazing universe. It's a big universe. We don't know how many stars there are, but some scientists who think about these things, of which there perhaps are only a small number, but anyway, some people say there are probably in the region of 100 trillion galaxies, and each one has about 100 billion stars. And that's about 100 octillion stars. That's a lot of stars. The universe is a big place. Is it all just an accident? I think many Australians would say it is. Whether it's always been there or whether it started off somehow with a big bang or something, most people in Australia would say probably that it's just an accident. An accidental result of atoms and molecules or whatever the lattice particle names are, interacting with one another. It all just happened and it all just keeps happening by accident. At random. Of course, if you believe that, then human beings are just also accidents, random results of processes, random collections of particles that might not have happened, but they have happened. That's all we are. And if you believe that, then there's no reason why one random collection of particles, a person, shouldn't put another random collection in the shape of a knife or a bullet through another random collection in the shape of another person. There's no reason why one random collection shouldn't bash another one, a young one or an old one. After all, we're just accidental collections of particles. Human life is just an accident. And if you believe that, then life is just about filling in time before you die. Eat, drink and be merry, because tomorrow we die. Watch all the cooking shows you like. Personally, I can't see the profit in that, but some do. Drink yourself silly on the weekend. get high on drugs, or watch TV, go to the football, fill in the time somehow, because there's nothing else. There's no reason not to, unless there are unpleasant consequences of acting in certain ways. Unpleasant for me, that's the main thing, how I feel, if we're all just accidents. The universe is just one big accident and we're just random collections of particles, and in the end we're all going to get old and die and become dust. So this is not just some theoretical belief without any consequences. If it's all just an accident, then we are just accidents. And there's no reason to condemn violence or injustice, because they're just accidental too. The problem is that even if most Australians think that the universe is just an accident, they don't really want to believe it or live with the consequences of that belief. I don't watch a lot of TV, but when David Attenborough has his amazing nature shows on, it's incredible. They might be showing how killer whales all team up to shake a seal off a piece of ice or something. I remember seeing that one. Or they might show the incredible patterns of underwater animals, or how the elephants trudge through the dust until the rains come, or how enormous herds of animals cross a river every year in search of grass, trying to dodge the crocodiles. It's incredible. It's amazing. Life is amazing. Human life is amazing. As Tennyson once wrote, though, nature is red in tooth and claw, and Richard Dawkins agreed, apparently. There is an interaction in nature, from the top of the food chain down to the bottom. Things aren't always lovely and nice. But is it all an accident? It's often beautiful. It's often amazing. It's often astounding. But isn't all an accident without anyone in charge, ruling somehow? A fair number of Australians follow various religions, some believing in one God, others believing there are many. And there's a great belief, great variety of belief about God or the gods. And for some people, even the word God might just mean a spirit associated with a certain place or possessing powers in a certain area of life. There are lots of different religions out there in Australia and lots of different beliefs about God or the gods. Christians believe, as the writer of Psalm 96 believed, that the universe is not just an accident. He put it like this in verse 5, "The Lord made the heavens." And he also believed that the gods that many people believe in are not real. They didn't make the universe in the first place, and they don't influence it day by day. The writer of this psalm believed that the Lord, the God of Israel, did make the universe. And Christians believe that too, because we believe that Jesus Christ showed us what he's like, and we follow him. And this is not just an idea. It's not just some theoretical belief without any consequences. Because if it's really true that the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and if it's really true he did make the universe and all those amazing clusters of stars we get pictures of from the Hubble telescope, and if it's really true that he's responsible for all the life forms on earth and in the sea, all the incredible creatures you see on David Attenborough's nature shows and the TV programs on the Barrier Reef, if it's really true that he's there ruling over the universe and our lives day by day, and if it's really true that he does give us life moment by moment and enable us to enjoy life sometimes and experience the beauty of the sky and the sea and the land and other people, if it's really true that he's there, then he himself must be amazing too. He must be glorious. As the writer put it in the psalm there in verse 6, "Splendor and majesty are before him, strength and glory are in his sanctuary." If it's really true, then the Lord reigns, he says there in verse 10. The Lord God is in charge. And that means that, as he says in verse 10 there, the world is firmly established, it cannot be moved. It means that the reason that scientists can pursue research is that, generally speaking, particles will act tomorrow like they did today. Imagine if it wasn't true. Results of research today, all different tomorrow. No, the world is there and its parts act consistently because the Lord God rules. And he also rules over history for his people. So the psalmist mentions salvation there in verse 2 and marvellous deeds. And no doubt he had certain events in the history of Israel, especially in mind. So if that's all true, if the universe is not just an accident, if the Lord did make the universe, and if he does rule it day by day, then we ought to be grateful and we should sing his praises. And that's why the psalm starts off as it does. Sing, sing, sing. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord. And then praise his name, proclaim his salvation, declare his glory. In that first part of the psalm, the psalmist was calling on Israel to praise God for his glory and telling his people, tell other people about it. But from verse 7 onwards, he was calling on people to other people to do the same. Ascribe, ascribe, ascribe. Ascribe to the Lord families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due to his name, families of nations. And then bring and come and worship and tremble. In those days when the temple was in Jerusalem, coming to the temple and offering a sacrifice was the ultimate expression of praise to God. For the temple was the symbol for Israel that he was living amongst them as their king. It was his house. It was his palace. Now, we don't have a holy place like a temple, but the Lord is still worth every bit of praise and respect that we can give him. He is still worth singing to and singing about. When this church was built, and they had those words painted up there on the front, you may not be able to see it all clearly from where you are, but it says, "Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." They were probably thinking of this church as a holy building, and they called this front part up here the sanctuary, the holy place. We know that this building is no more holy than the space outside the building, even this front bit. But the God of Israel, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, is still worth all the praise and song and worship we can give him because he is there. He did make the universe, including us, and he does rule over it in all its beauty day by day. Most Australians, though, don't give him a second thought, let alone praise. Christians believe, like the writer of Psalm 96, that the God whom Jesus spoke about, the Father of Jesus, his Son, has his hand on the world moment by moment, ruling it. The Lord reigns. But the writer of the psalm also believed that not only did he make it in the past, and not only does he rule it in the present, but he will also judge human beings in the future. Verse 10, he will judge the peoples with equity. Or 13, he comes to judge the earth, he will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his truth. If the universe is all just an accident, then there's no judgment. There's no final accounting. And all the atrocities and all the terrible things that people have done in the course of human history will never really be dealt with justly. Because we all just pass into the dust. And it's all just an accident. Hitler will never be punished. Everyone who has ever done anything wrong will never receive a final just punishment. They might be tried by the courts and pay a fine or go to jail, but real justice will never actually be served. If it's all just an accident, then there's never any real and final justice. But this writer said, and Christians also believe, that God will judge the peoples with equity, justice for all. Isn't that good news? Well, it would be if I could be sure that I've done what I should do all the time. Although it's good news that justice is coming, I'd like to make sure that I'd come out of that judgment okay. I'd like to make sure that I'm right with God before it's too late. Because there's no changing things once we're dead. That's the bad news. The good news is that the future doesn't have to be so worrying, because Christians also believe that not only is God a God of justice, but he's also a God of mercy and love. And we believe that he sent his son, Jesus, to die a human death and take our just punishment on himself if we'll only turn to him, say we're sorry for ignoring him and not being grateful, and ask him for forgiveness and start living a new life, worshipping the Lord in the way we live day by day. The good news is that the future for us then is glorious beyond belief, because the universe will one day join in that worship and praise. I know it's all a bit poetic, so we shouldn't take it too literally, but the psalmist looks forward to the day when the whole universe would praise God too, there in verse 11. Let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad, let the sea resound and all that's in it, let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Then all the trees of the forest will sing for joy. They will sing before the Lord, for he comes. What a day that will be. We live in an amazing universe. If someone believes that it's all just an accident, then they have to live with the consequences of that. There's no future in it, certainly no justice. And there's no reason to do anything except eat, drink and be merry, because tomorrow or sometime we're going to die. Fill in the time somehow. Live for myself. Kill the boredom. Maybe get appreciated somehow, no matter how it affects other people. But the writer of Psalm 96 believed, and Christians also believe, that the universe is not just an accident. That there is a maker. That there is hope for the future. There is justice. And death is not the end for those who are right with God through Jesus. So here's a challenge for Australians today. Ignore the God who made the universe and gives us life, or acknowledge him, just him, be grateful to him, sing his praises, give him the glory, ask his forgiveness, trust in Jesus as a way to be forgiven, look forward to the day when he will judge humanity and when the universe itself will sing his praises. It's never too late and it's never too early to worship the Lord for all his goodness and holiness and greatness. And if we've done that already, then it should be our daily goal to continue to worship the Lord because of his holiness. Look at the sky. It's amazing. And if we come to this church week by week, and each week we look at those words on the wall, even if they're a bit behind the screen sometimes, they should be a constant reminder to us to be grateful to the Lord God and worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. He deserves it. And not just here in this building on Sunday, so that's okay, but on Monday, Tuesday, and every other day, in our homes, in our families, amongst our friends, at work, in sport, in politics, in finance, in everything. This last week I received a book in the mail, this one. It's called They Shall See His Face by Linda and Robert Banks. It's the story of Amy Oxley Wilkinson and her visionary blind school in China, in Fuzhou. She went out with the Australian Church Missionary Society as a nurse, and she went to China and eventually married an English man who was there as a doctor. And she had this blind school for at least 25 years there, right through the First World War. It's still going. They had to return to the UK, where his family came from, because of their children. But she still soldiered on in London, helping Chinese residents, because she was fluent in the dialect in Fuzhou and elsewhere. As I get older, one of the questions that comes to me from time to time is, have I made a difference? Maybe not starting a blind school in China, maybe just at work or maybe just among family and friends. But we can all ask, can I still make a difference? Am I grateful to God? Do I really sing his praises? Frankly, when I think of my own life, I don't think I come up as well as I might. It's just as well that he promises to continue to forgive his people throughout our lives. But I also hope and pray that I'll do better from now on. I hope we all will. So we really do worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness, because he deserves it. Let's pray. Dear God, our Father, we thank you for the world you've made and sustain, moment by moment, and the life you give us. Help us to be grateful, and help us to honour you as you deserve. We thank you for a judgment coming and pray that the knowledge of Jesus and his forgiveness will be our only hope. We thank you for that great future. Help us to serve you and honour you and worship you in the present. In Jesus' name.